Thanks for tuning in to Faith Church Podcast. We're a church that believes in getting people connected, seeing families grow, and lives being changed. We hope that this message will speak to you today. It was all in our hearts, and I believe you're going to love it. Let's get to it.
I'm here to preach tonight about Jesus. He's my favorite guy. How about you? He's the one that died for us. I believe Jesus, if he had his favorite song, it would be, "Say my name, say my name. If you're feeling lonely, if your girlfriend's homely, she'll never be the same." Come on, look at your neighbor and say, "I love Jesus." I got four sermons. I've got to narrow it down to one. But I have some kind of props that'll be the tension point for tonight. But really where we're at right now is we're heading towards 2020. And we're heading there at a high rate of speed with a whole lot of expectation. And ain't nobody mad but the devil. I'm telling you right now. The devil's afraid. For those people that say, "I don't believe in the devil," well, the devil told you that. He is very, very real. And I'm telling you, there's only two options in life. There's the God way and the devil way. People say there are many paths that lead to God. There's only one path that leads to God, and his name is, we read it a minute ago, J-E-S-U-S. Shout his name.
Jesus.
Jesus, that's his name. So many people now, you know, they talk about, well, you know, there is no heaven, there is no hell. There really is a heaven and there really is a hell. You got two chances in life, two choices in life. There's not many. It's either heaven or it's hell. And sometimes people live in hell on their way to heaven. But here's what God's telling me. That we, the people of God, people that will believe God, people that will go the next level, that these people will actually have heaven come down to earth starting in September, and we will have a September to remember, and we will start entering into the banner year with great expectation, supernatural fire. Somebody ought to shout me right now, because the Lord is here, he's large, and he's charged. Especially when you get young people fired up. I love old people, but they get slow and sluggish, and we need them. Why do we need them? Because they have a lot of experience. They have a lot of great things to add. I love a church that's got old people, middle-aged people, young people. That's what a family looks like. So we're here to honor the past, but we're not here to live in the past. We're not here to judge young people as being something that's not great. I believe that this is a great psalmist. He wrote this psalm. It says, "I believe that children are a future. Teach them well. Let them lead the way." Come on, somebody. Show them all the beauty they possess inside. Give them a sense of pride. Right? You heard that? I'm here to tell you that when a revival starts happening, something starts happening in the youth. And I've never been so proud of the stock that we are growing here at Faith Church than I am right now here and in Florida. We're about to change the world. Somebody ought to help me. I'm telling you, we're about to, hell is afraid. So we're making some tweaks. And if you're a visitor here, I do not apologize for this. You know, some churches say this. They say, "You know, we apologize for what's about to happen here." I fully endorse what is about to happen here. I put the full endorsement of the Church of Jesus Christ on it. I put my full endorsement. I am a holy roller by trade, by birth, and it's just hard to disguise it. I also heard the Lord tell me today. He said, "You know something that bothers me?" And we get conversational even at the gym. It was at the gym when he told me this. He'll go wherever you go. And I was in there. He said, "You know what bugs me?" And I said, "What? What bothers me?" And he said, when preachers say this, like they say, "Hey, in 2 weeks from now, we're having a special service. And this is where you can invite your friends because it's going to be safe. I'm not going to say anything that would scare them. And I'm not going to do anything that scares, you know, your friends. So invite your friends." He said, that makes everybody at the church think that there's, like, you got to hide me out. 50 of the weeks, in 2 weeks, you can bring me in. He said, if they want to go to the movies, I bet you the movies does a better job presenting the movies to them with surround sound and massage seats and Cokes and popcorn. So he said, I'm not looking for a church to bring a movie in. I'm looking for a church to bring me in. Come on, somebody. So I'm here to tell you that we're not apologizing. Help me, Marcos. I'm going to shout it that we're bringing him in, and I fully expect for the blind to see, the dumb to talk, the dead to be raised, and supernatural impartations of the Holy Ghost to happen. I'm here to tell you, I'm tired of playing church. I'm ready to have some. You can be seated. So how do we do that technically? Well, I'm glad you asked. You're so smart. John chapter 12. Verse 31 says, check this out, this is the word. "From this moment, everything in this world is about to change. From this moment, Saturday night, everything is about to change. Change, by the way, is not change until you change. I'm sorry, honey. I'm sorry that I beat you. Well, sorry, that's nice. But sometimes it's too late to say I'm sorry when she got a black eye. Change is turning around and never hitting again. Change is saying it's repentance. I'm moving in another direction. So I love that scripture. It says, from this moment, everything in this world is about to change. For under the dark world, the overthrown world, God is going to do something. He said, if I am lifted up off the ground, when at that point I will draw hearts of the people to me when I'm lifted up. Now what we're seeing is Jesus talking about him being lifted up on the cross. I want to talk to you just for a couple minutes about Jesus on the cross. Number one, what Jesus did on the cross was absolutely amazing. It should always be celebrated. It should always be like the thing. It's why I love the Catholics so much, because they celebrate the cross. They resurrect, erect, you know, shrines to the cross. I love to go to the Vatican and just look at the pictures of the cross and all the things that happened there in Vatican City. It's its own nation, by the way. It's just crazy how cool it is, and I love the Catholic people. I also love the fact that I just heard this week from a bunch of Catholic priests. They told me that the Catholics, the nuns, are growing at an exponential rate. They have so many young people who are wanting to be nuns now, and this tells me that people are saying, I'm tired of being abused by men. I'm looking for somewhere to sanction my life and give myself to God. And I'm not saying you got to be a nun, but I do honor that. Come on, give it up to people that are saying, I want to go with God. So what I love about the Catholic Church is they lift up the cross. They also lift up Mary. Now Mary, of course, such a holy woman, such an incredible woman. And we want to honor her, but we don't worship to her. We don't pray to Mary. We don't pray to, you know, the angels. We pray to God through Jesus. Praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit, three in one. Oh, God of glory. And then she hits, majesty. Come on, give it up for Christina right there. I don't even dare go there. That's when I pull my mic away. Majesty, praise forever. You got to know when to hold him and know when to fold him. Come on, somebody ought to help me right now. You got, that's the whole thing right here. Right? So Jesus is saying, I want you to be people who have expectation that everything is about to change. Yeah. Now, technically, everything changed when Jesus came off the cross. However, nobody told you about your rights and privileges. There's a true story about a guy who was coming back in the day from England over to America. And he had just enough money to ride in the boat, but not enough money to buy the meal plan to dine. So everybody else, every evening, he would look inside the dining room and everybody was sitting there eating steak and having a great meal. And it takes him 14 days on this journey. And every day he was sitting outside of the, looking in, eating the rations that he had, because he had just enough to get to America. Thank God for all the people who came to America under that Statue of Liberty, because they knew this is a motherland of freedom. They knew that God was here and in God we trust. Thank God for the United States of America. Again, if I clap like you guys preach, you'd never come hear me. It's just a side note, no big deal. But America is still the greatest country in the whole wide stinking world. Yeah! And I'm proud to be an American! Okay. So, at day 13, this guy walks past him. True story. And he walks outside and he sees him and says, I got a question for you. How come you always sit here every night and eat the bread and the peanut butter? He said, oh, I didn't have enough money to buy the meal plan. I just had enough money to take the journey over to America. And the guy said, are you joking, man? There was only one ticket available, and your ticket was all-inclusive, and it included the dining plan. You couldn't be on this boat right now. There was no options. The ticket that you bought provided the entire package. But unfortunately, it was the last day. Can you imagine how sad that guy felt when he thought, oh my gosh, all the nights I looked in and saw you dipping lobster. All the nights I saw you eating bread. Let's thank God for bread. Give us this day our daily bread. Come on, carb people, say amen to that right now. God is all about food and bread, by the way. He was eating every time. He was like eating at a party, drinking wine. They're like, Last Supper, he was eating bread. We're going to heaven where he's going to have the marriage supper of the Lamb for 7 years. That's a lot of eating, y'all. Come on, somebody. I'm just here to tell you that God is into some fasting, but he's really into supernatural feasting. And I do not want you living below your means. The ticket that he bought for you 2,000 years ago was all-inclusive. You pull yourself up to the table and you say, hey, pass the greens. I need some more potatoes. Come on, somebody. Hey, I need some more steak and lobster. Who's going with me on this right now? We don't serve an El Cheapo God. We serve an El Shaddai God who is ready to do a supernatural breakthrough for people who say, God, I want more of you. I want more of your power. I want more supernatural opportunity. I'll jump and praise you in praise and worship. You don't have part of me. You have all of me. Everything is about to change. Everything is about to change. Shout it. Everything is a, shout it again to the devil. Y'all rowdy now. I like this place right now. It's feeling good in the hood. Now, we're going to roll up to verse 20. Now, where there were a number of foreigners from among every nations, worshippers at the feast, they came to Philip, who came from the village of Bethsaida, and asked him, would you take us to see Jesus? Not to the movies, not to a presentation, not to smoke and mirrors. And I love LED screens. We have so many, we just hang them from the ceiling. We have every church we have. We have $1 million in LED screens to create environment, lights and smokes, and the place is hazed up, smoky, so you feel like you're still at the bar. How many of y'all like me and you look better in a dark room with some smoke? Come on, you little liar, raise your hand. We found out that when the lights go down and the smoke goes up, Baptist and Catholic hands go up. Now, they said, take us to see Jesus. That's what people want. People want the power of God. Do not worry. Listen to me. Don't worry about your friends. What will your friends say if you bring them to church and I do something crazy? People are looking for crazy. They're looking for power. They're not looking for another preacher being politically correct in a pulpit. I am not a politician. I will never be a politician. I'm a prophet and a priest to tell people, if you're bound, Jesus will set you free. If you're lonely, he'll comfort you. If you're in the sick room, he'll heal you. If you're in a doctor's situation and you don't know what to do, he will come and deliver you. I'm here to tell you that heathens call me F-bomb dropping every other word. Hey, you effer, how the F are you doing? Those guys, they call me when they're in trouble. Why? Because they know I'm an F-bomb dropper myself. It's called forgiveness. Come on, somebody. And I'm dropping forgiveness everywhere I can. I drop the F-word every time I can. I don't care if you're down. I don't care if you say, I'm sleeping with these 7 people. I'm sleeping with 6 people. Jesus came to the woman but she did have an issue with the well. She said, I'm drawing up water. And he said, you thirsty, girl. But the kind of water that I have to give you is living water. In other words, he was telling a person who was looking for something significant to make themselves feel fulfilled, to cover up the pain, mask the problem. He was saying, I'm here to tell you that I'm Jesus and I'm here for you. And here's what they do to me. They call me when they're hurting. Last week I had somebody call me. And a little kid, 3 years old, had drowned in a pool, in their pool. And they weren't sure she was going to make it. They weren't sure she would be brain dead. They wasn't sure what was going to happen. And it was a Saturday night, 2 weeks ago. I was at our church in Florida, and they called me. And I called. The Bible said, call for the elders of the church. And I commended the person. I said, thanks for calling me, because you called the right guy. I said, give me 30 minutes, and I'll call you back. So I spent 30 minutes before the Lord to ask if the child was going to live, because if I would have told the guy that the child was going to live and that the child dies, it would be bad for business in the sense that this person would doubt God. So I spent 30 minutes with the Lord, and the Lord assured me in this particular case that the child would live. So I texted him back 30 minutes, and I said, hey, I got some good news. Now, he knew who to call, but he has no real frame of reference other than, the fruit on the tree here. But, you know, you don't know a lot about God. You just don't know. And I said, I got a word from God. I didn't say, hey, I want to understand. You got to understand, sometimes God talks to me. We don't need that. This guy really needs a word from God. So he must not think I'm too crazy. He must know who to call. So I said, what you did was you called for the elder of the church. And I called and I talked to the Lord. Then I called some intercessors. Then I called Arden and Susie. Then I called Nicole. And Cole and Ree went down to the hospital and they prayed for the child. And I'm here to tell you the child's going to live. And you know what? They called me this week and they said the child's off all breathing machines. Not one problem with the brain. Everything is stabilized. Come on, somebody. That's what the world is looking for. If you're here tonight to dedicate your baby, you came to the right place. We bind drowning. We bind raping. We bind terrorism at school. We're not here just to be a big church on the highway. We are that. But what we really are is the Church of Jesus Christ, fire baptized, telling people that 2020 is the year of breakthrough. It's supernatural opportunity for you. Who's going with me on this? I'm not here to say, I'm in my name. We come in the name of Jesus. Come on, shout his name.
Jesus.
Say it again.
Jesus.
You can be seated. You're too rowdy. It's supposed to be crazy in church. People are here to get their children dedicated. What would they think? I bet they like it. Watch this. He says, now it's time for the Son of Man to be glorified. Not you, not me. Who? Son of Man to be glorified. Let me make this clear. A single grain of wheat will never be more than a single grain of wheat unless it drops to the ground, dies. Because then, and only then, it sprouts up and it produces a great harvest. A great harvest. Everybody shout, a great harvest.
Great harvest.
Shout it again.
Great harvest.
It sounds like banner year stuff to me. Sounds like Jubilee to me. Not a regular harvest, not a normal harvest. We're talking great harvest, big harvest. Cray cray, over the top, ridiculous, OMG harvest. You're kidding me, harvest. Unless the kernel of wheat die to the ground, fall to the ground and die. It abides alone. Only then, if it dies, will it produce much fruit. Now we know we're also prophetically talking about Jesus. Jesus now hangs on the cross. Says, my God, why have you forsaken me? So we could say, my God, why have you accepted me? And now he dies and he goes down to the very pits of hell and he has to lead captivity captive. He has to pay for our debt. He's never ever sinned, yet he became sin. He knew no sin, yet he became sin that we might be the righteousness of God in Christ. In other words, he didn't know anything, but he came in advance and took his credit card and paid. And he was such a spotless Savior that his credit card so overly exaggerated the amount of sin that we would ever do. I'm talking about Ted Bundy. I'm talking about rapists. I'm talking about serial murders right now. That he is so perfect and so holy. When you get to heaven, you may be surprised who is there and you might be surprised who is not there. But this Jesus did not die for perfect people. This Jesus that I'm talking about died for F-bomb dropping strippers. Come on, somebody. Attorneys, school teachers, normal people, everybody. And he comes back out of the ground. And a woman sees him. Mary. Mary's coming because she knows that he's in the grave in the tomb. She shows up in the tomb. And the big, huge stone that would take caterpillars to move has been bounced off, tossed like a pebble over against another area of terrain. And she sneaks in. When she sneaks in, she sees the grave clothes where he had been. And he's now gone. What has happened? He's now came back to the earth, and now he's roaming around with nail prints in his hands, nail prints in his feet, thorn of crowns over his head because he knew that the biggest problem you would have would be between these appendages on the side of your pretty head. And he bore all that to tell you, I loved you when your daddy left you. I loved you when your mom left you. And here you were trying to smoke it up and drink it up and go travel around and try to make somebody love you. All the while, the whole time, before you were ever even born, before your mom and daddy made that mistake, by the way, that was not a mistake. You were born with a purpose, on purpose, with a divine purpose to do the plan of God. And so hold on to that. But I'm here to tell you, if nobody's ever told you, Not only does Jesus love you, I love you. I'm talking about people that are bullied and people that look weird and people make fun of you. You come up to me and I will embrace you, Instagram you, and walk down the schools of your halls of your school with you, because somebody needs to stay around people that are rejected, hurt, abused, and abandoned. If you want to be like Jesus, you're going to embrace people, because what the world needs now is more love. Not physical love, not eros love, but agape love. The God kind of love to say, come to our church, dance with us up front. Come to our church, worship Jesus. Come on, somebody ought to help us right now. I'm preaching my heart out. You need to get a hold of this right now. I'm not preaching a sermon. I'm leading a revolution. We're making a movement. We're going to do something great for God. If you think we've done something great, you're sadly mistaken. It's on like Donkey Kong. These are our banner years, and we are entering into Jubilee. I'll give you 10 seconds to praise him like a... Come on. Unless a kernel of wheat fall to the ground, it abideth alone. But if it falls to the ground and it drops to the ground, which should be you dropping to the ground, it sprouts and it produces a great harvest. I bought this thing in Kirkwood, Missouri this week. It's a soap holder with a faucet on it. I walked in after going to Billy G's, which Billy G is not my lover, it's a restaurant. Billy G is not my lover. But they do have a 600 calorie bowl of chicken that I like. And I was walking out of there, and I went into this gift store for a second. I don't go to knick-knack stores. As soon as I walked in, I saw this. And I heard the Lord say, I put that there for you. And I traded the woman money for this. That's what she does. You give her money, she gives you this stuff. And I got back home. Nicole was with me. Got back home, got out of the car, and she said, what is that? And I would have never thought you'd like that. I mean, I always try to find out what to buy you. I'd have never thought that. Then a while ago, we were in the shower together, which is a whole nother topic. Well, you can't handle this. I understand. You're like, I thought he was a man of righteousness. Ain't nothing wrong with showering with your wife. Come on, somebody ought to help me right now. I'll let you know. If you're married, shower together's good. Some of y'all are like, I'm so confused by you. I'm the different kind of guy. I do some of this for F-bomb droppers to understand. He's not all a priest, you know. He likes to shower with his wife. Some of you have showered, do you good. Write that down. Come on. After all, it's Saturday. I said, hey, you know, the reason why I bought that was 2 weeks ago. Unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground, it drops to the ground. In the gym working out, I was so overwhelmed with the presence of God, I just dropped to the ground in the gym, and I put my hands under a faucet, and I washed my hands, which this represents that. The Lord shall, who shall ascend to the hill of the Lord? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart. And he asked me to turn off the world, delete everything off my Spotify list. Not that he doesn't want me listening to secular music, but during this protracted time, when we are making gains in the spirit, when we want to get more people out of wheelchairs, when we want people to be able to call on us when a child's drowned and they don't think they're going to make it, there is when we need power. And I deleted that stuff off of my app. And I just started listening to worship music. So then when I'm just driving down the road, songs pop in my mind like, you're all I want. You're all I ever needed. You're all I want. I know you are here. I just start singing songs to God. Then I can feel his presence touch me. Living in a broken place to where when I see an accident on the highway, I said, God help them. When I hear an ambulance, I don't think, oh God, they're going to be in my way or make me late. I just start praying, oh God, help those people. Because God is looking for people that will drop to the ground, sprout up, and produce a great harvest. Not just money, not a bigger house, not a greater car. And I'm not against that, but I want you to start praying and asking God to use you. Raise your hand if you understand what I'm saying right now. The person who loves his life, pampers himself, watches out for his pride, I paraphrase, will miss true life. But the one who detaches his life from this world and abandons himself will find true life, and he will enjoy it. Today I was opening cards for a birthday party that you guys kept secret. I don't know how in the world you did that. Unbelievable. I think it would be impossible, but honest to God. And I was opening up stuff like somebody bought me these Gucci shoes, which preachers and sneakers will say that I have, and I didn't buy them, but they were a gift. And I opened all kinds of cool gifts that people gave me. But they didn't make me cry. What made me cry, she'll tell you, was when I read hundreds and hundreds of cards from people who said, I was abused by my dad. I was rejected and abandoned. And I came here and you believed in me. I've never met you, but I feel like you love me. And my life was changed. And I read card after card like that till you guys convinced me that what we're doing is not just producing a church service that is making you feel better about yourself and you stay in the mess that you're in. What I see is we're actually going down to the ground. We're detaching ourselves from the world. We're abandoning what we want to do so that more people can come in here and feel the warmth and embrace of a loving Savior. Come on, somebody. And that's what we have to do with our life. That's what I want to do in my life. And if you can do it in Gucci shoes, that's great. But if you have to do it barefoot with goofy socks on, that's great too. Because if it makes you feel better, I'll do it this way. Whatever we have to do, let's win people to Jesus. Whatever we have to do, let's pray through. Whatever we have to do, let's abandon our desires. Whatever we have to do, let's read our Bible. Whatever we have to do, let's get rid of the world, turn on the faucet and say, God, here I am, use me. Whatever time I got left, I want to use my life to change somebody's life. I give you my heart. It's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by your Spirit, says the Lord. A lot of articles of clothing up here. When I was in the gym a while ago, the Lord began to talk to me. He began to talk to me about redigging the wells of our fathers. And if you were to read in Genesis 28 or 26, I think it's 28, Isaac redug the wells of his father. His father's dug wells. It says that they, over time, got dirt in them. Got dirty. And the wells filled up. And there's nothing coming out of the wells. Well after well, read it. Now Isaac went back and he said, we got to redig those wells. On Tuesday night, some of you don't know it, but there was a guy who pastor of this church originally, his name was Rick Shelton, and he dug a well. And then over time, it got filled in. And then they basically lost the church. And they were going to put subdivisions in here or a big car lot in here, and God saw fit to bless us to be able to buy it, the well of revival. And we were able to do it, and if I had known that how much money it would cost to make it what it is today, I would have never done it because I'd have been scared because I didn't know it would cost about $10 million to do it. I would have never done that. But where God guides, he provides, and we redug a well of revival. And it says Isaac, he dug his own wells. But all of them get dirty and they fill up with dirt. Follow me, I'm almost done. Our church, for a while, had a lot of good people, some volunteers, some staff. And they were part of filling up the well with dirt. It's called strife, fusion, attitude. Picture dirt. My way, I've always stood here. I don't want to wear that. I want to do what I want to do. After all, I've always been here. When God spoke to me a few weeks ago, he even told me, he said, your presence isn't necessary. My presence is necessary. And if you don't think that, your presence won't be necessary anymore. So then I was worried about you watching me on a screen. And God said, they love the movies. They spend billions of dollars to watch it. They love the screen. In fact, a lot of even your church watch porn on their screen. They're just a lot, they're totally familiar with the screen. And here you are worried about being on a screen. You're going to kill yourself doing it the way you've done it. And you're playing around letting them be the tail that wags the dog. So here's what you're going to do. You're going to do whatever I tell you to do. Unless the kernel of wheat fall to the ground and die, it abides alone. So what I need you to do is listen to me. This isn't your church anyway. It's my church. And you need to clean up those wells that even some of your team and worship has messed up. And lighting and sound and parking and nursery strife. God won't have anything to do with it. I'm here to tell you right now that we're all really, I would say, lucky because you know that word. But lucky comes from the word Lucifer, so we won't use it. But the area would be really, in God's mind, he would say, you're really blessed to be here. And I started this church, he would say, without you guys. And Acts 2 happened without you. And the day of Pentecost happened without you. And the blind Bartimaeus got healed without you. And the one with the issue of blood got healed without you. And you're really not as big of a deal as you think you are, David. But wait, you should hear how good I can sing. How great I am. Everybody's not worshiping, they're looking at this person. How great I am. What God is telling me, and he told me again a while ago, he said, you know why the church is so much more anointed than it was even a few months ago? Because the worship well got cleaned out. And the audio well is getting cleaned out. And the sound of the house is getting cleaned out. And he said, now people aren't focusing on a person's ability. They're focusing on me. And if they focus on me, they don't even have to sing. Because the nature of the beast is we should lead people to worship, not to watch us. See what I'm saying? So you should be so worshiping God, you don't even know how. You should look up and go, oh, that person was leading? I'm going to say it again. My daughter sings unbelievably well. But you can't focus on her. I'd rather hear a donkey bray in a tin barn at midnight than hear somebody who is an insubordinate diva try to lead us in worship, because you're just a good vocalist. You're not a real worship leader. I'm not a great vocalist, but you know what? I can lead you into worship, because it's not going to be about me. It's going to be about him. Come on, somebody ought to give him praise for that. Almost done. So here's what I saw in the gym a while ago. He said, redig the wells, boy. He said, you've done a good job. And I'm not here to brag on me, but you guys know I throw myself under the bus typically. But if he does tell me that I did a good job, I want to tell you, just so at least you guys want to keep going to church here. So he said, you've done such a great job of honoring the past revivals. Done such a great job even keeping the pews when Rick and Donna didn't even keep the pews. But when their mind was blown Tuesday night when I brought out the pew that he sat on, because I'd never get rid of that pew because he sat on that pew, because he built that church, and because he did great things. And even himself, he didn't think that I would honor him to that level. Then at the end, Donna said, man, I wish I had half of a pew. I said, you know what? There were two pews that I kept, that one and a little bitty stubby one. So next week's her birthday, and she will be presented with that. God knew back when we bought this church 7 years ago, there was one for us. Come on, somebody. And one for them. Somebody ought to say that God's good. That God knows everything you want before you even want it. Somebody ought to shout, it's September to remember. It's my Jubilee. Let the devil know, this I've had about enough. I'm going to go back and I'm going to redig the wells. I'm going to pray again. I'm going to get rid of those CDs. I'm going to delete that app. I'm going to have some accountability in my life. I'm going to go through Growth Tech today. I'm going to get in a small group, because show me your friends, I'll show you your future. If you're going with me, we're going to work out. We're going to pray. We're going to eat right. We're going to live right. And we're going to change the world. Come Come on, I want to hear some world changers. Shout it. So, I love Saturday night. So in the gym, I saw, and I touched them. I go, I need a shovel, and I need spoons. The Lord said, here's the problem with a lot of people at your church still. Jay has reset under the ministry of Pastor Morgan. Morgan had an idea to bring in Lucia, who sang here a while ago. She brought order to worship. Then Pastor Morgan had the wisdom to bring in Jay, who, by the way, a lot of Lecrae songs she's featured on, sing on them, wrote on them. Joyce Meyer's newest Endeavor podcast globally is her and Jay. Come on, somebody. But Jay says, you know what? I can do this, this, and that. I'm bringing the revival to this church in the area of worship. And she released a shovel this size. She started cleaning out the well, man. And if people are walking, well, man, I don't know. I hope people don't get offended. I hope you do, because you're out of order. And if you want to stay here, quit putting your dirty hands or your dirty mouth or your dirty perversion, or you know how to run a church better than we did. If we knew how to run a church, you'd have one, but you don't have one. I'm not coming to your dental practice telling you how to drill a truth, so stay out of this. Come on, somebody. Let us get in here during the week, pray, seek God. Come on, somebody ought to help me right now. I'm not going to tell you how to run your CPA stuff. You'd go to prison. If I do your taxes, you're going to jail. But God did call the foolish things in the world to confound the wise. I'm standing up here. I don't even know how to describe me right now. But it's the foolishness of preaching. So in the gym, I saw these spoons and I saw a shovel. He said, a lot of your church is trying to re-dig a well with a spoon. Some of them are really aggressive, and they're like, I'm in a small group. I am. I got a big spoon. Other people are like, I hate to brag, but I'm in a small group, Winter Growth Track, been baptized, invited two people to church. Never brought them, but I told them about it. Hallelujah. Bless his name. I'm my year of Jubilee. Oh, yeah. And God said, it happens real slow this way. And the hour is late. The time's come for you to pick up a shovel. And you need to dig like you've never dug in your life. I'm talking about digging through the scriptures. I'm talking about digging through podcasts. I'm talking about young people that God is going to raise up out of this church, and they're going to build churches bigger than I ever thought about building. I'm talking about young people that are going to get in the movie business. Come on, somebody. I'm talking about, somebody ought to help me right now. I'm talking about radical people that are heading into something really big, really good, to do something great for God.
Thanks for joining us on our podcast today. We certainly hope it spoke to you in the same way it was speaking to us. If you enjoyed this message today, there's a few things I'd like to encourage you to do. First of all, subscribing to it. It's really easy to get these Faith Church sermons sent straight to your phone with a notification as soon as they're ready. I mean, you want that, right? Secondly, by sharing with a friend on social media, just like you might share a sale or some great restaurant, we're looking for you to share it with your friends. You never know in your network of friends who really needs this message today. And lastly, before you go, if you'll rate and review this on iTunes, it'll really help us expand our reach, help more people globally. Each time there's a positive rating, this really helps push us in front of more people. So that's what I want you to do. And if you live in the St. Louis area or West Palm Beach, come out and see us at our physical locations. If you don't, make sure you tune in to our church online. It's a real campus at faithchurch.com.